There is a great deal of difference between the standards of God and the standards of mankind. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." One very striking example of that difference pertains to speech. Our society, our world around us thinks very lightly of certain kinds of speaking. In fact, our society has even arrived at the point now of allowing profane speech and justifying it in the name of free speech or freedom of speech. But Jesus makes it clear that God has a very different standard. Our lesson this evening comes from a statement that Jesus made, which, quite frankly, is a very frightening statement. It is a statement that I believe should awaken us regarding the words that we speak. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." This has always been one of those passages that has puzzled a lot of people, and the first reaction is, well, what do you mean a careless word? We speak careless words all the time. We speak words that really don't have a whole lot of meaning behind them or a purpose behind them. You know, even in social settings, for example, you know, just idle chit-chat, conversation, we call it sometimes, just trying to keep everybody comfortable. You know, some people would say, well, you know, those are careless words, idle words, King James Version says. In fact, it's always helpful to me to compare several different renderings from other translations. And the New King James says, "For every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment." The New Testament in simple English puts it like this: "I tell you, sometimes people speak without thinking. On the judgment day, they will be held responsible for every word." The translation or version that touts itself as the New Jerusalem translation renders it like this: "So I tell you this, that for every unfounded word people may utter, they will answer on judgment day." Now, we may very well never be able to interpret the exact mechanics of that verse to suit everybody, but one thing is for sure: when you consider what Jesus said here, it's obvious that we should be very careful concerning the words that we use. For it is crucial that our speech be in keeping with God's standard and not the standard of the world. And I'll be very honest with you. I grew up in a household where if you uttered the wrong word, you were in danger of having it slapped back down your throat. I have an idea that some of you grew up about the same way. I also have pretty strong feelings that we need more of that kind of stuff today, but, you know, that gets me in trouble when I start talking that way. And right now in my house, there are certain words that we just don't say. They are not words that are considered commonly as curse words. They are words that to many people, in fact, a lot of people a lot of church people, I would venture to say. Those words have become just kind of standard fare for everybody. You know, it's the kind of words that the kids pick up and you hear them on TV and you hear them on the radio in songs. Again, I'm not talking about just coarse vulgarities, but you know, there's still a lot of words that we just don't say in my house. It kind of bothers me that that's not the case in a lot of folks' homes. And I hear young people, even in the church, use some of the common slang terms. And I'll be the first to admit that some of those words today, even by definition, have come to mean a little bit different or have a little bit different meaning than they had 30 years ago when I was a kid. I think you understand my point. When you consider what Jesus says here, and when you consider everything else that the Bible says about the way that we speak, we, especially as God's people, need to be very, very careful with the words that we use. This evening, I'd like to briefly review what the Bible teaches about unacceptable speech, and then we'll look at acceptable speech. There are several examples from the text of the Bible that are very obvious, things that should never, in our wildest dreams, ever cross our lips, especially as God's children. For example, using God's name in vain. The Lord said in Exodus 20, verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." That's always been kind of, you know, the standard, the bottom line when it comes to some of the language that people use. It's always easy to be able to go back to the Word of God and say, the Bible is very clear. God will not have us taking his name in vain. And so, it's not hard to find people everywhere who will say, well, you know, that's unacceptable. Though it's also not very difficult at all to find in some very surprising places and some very unusual venues to find that kind of language becoming more and more acceptable. Some people do that. Some people take the Lord's name in vain in a very light-hearted way. Some do it in a very subtle way. We need to also understand that we're talking about more than just the name God. For the name of Jesus is just as honorable. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Paul said, "Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." But going on, Peter refers to the evil use of the tongue. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "Let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile." We could construct a whole long list of things that would come under that heading, using the tongue for evil. The lying tongue that the wise man refers to in Proverbs 6 and verse 17. Paul uses a term in Romans chapter 16, verse 18, which literally means smooth and flattering speech. It is rendered deceitful words in many translations. Filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 would certainly come under that heading of using the tongue for evil. But you know, then there are some examples that we could pull from the Bible that are not quite so glaring or not quite as noticeable when we step into that realm. And often these kind of things do not really strike at the conscience of people the way that some of those others do. For example, the overuse of words. In James chapter 1, verse 26, James says, if anyone thinks himself to be righteous and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 provides us a good commentary on that verse. The wise man said, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. I want to take you back there for just a second. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. We have an employee who, from time to time, will come up to me, and he's been working for us for several years, and he'll say, David, you gave me the best piece of advice about 6 or 8 years ago that anybody has ever given me. And when he reminded me of that, I'd forgotten what I'd told him. But we were on an occasion talking about something, and he was just going on and talking and needed to hush so that we could get on about other business. And I said, Joe, let me tell you something. Sometimes the smartest thing you can say is nothing. And he said, you know, I've never forgotten that, because that's the best advice you've ever given me. And folks, I'm telling you, sometimes it's best just not to say anything. Because the more we talk, the more we cause people to see what's really on the inside sometimes. The more we talk, the more we tend to step into the territory that we really don't need to be in. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Words that are spoken in haste. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20 says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. James chapter 1, verse 19 warns us that we must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then, of course, there is the matter of speaking evil of others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, thou, he shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Again, the Lord drives home the point that we need to be very, very careful what we say, and especially when we're talking about others. Many people do not consider flattery to be wrong, but in Psalm 12, verses 1 through 4, David said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another with flattering lips, and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Of course, the psalmist there is making reference to those who try to gain favor among people by saying the kind of things that they anticipate people wanting to hear, trying to gain some kind of blessing or some kind of good out of someone by making up something if it is perceived that they want to hear a certain thing, then they'll say that thing. We call that getting in good with somebody, don't we? In Romans chapter 16, verse 18, Paul condemns smooth and flattering speech. Rash oaths that Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, he said, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath on your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is evil. If you're in the habit of saying, I swear, please try to get out of that habit, because I believe that's wrong. I believe what Jesus says here is very clear. It's not necessary to call out an oath or to swear something. He said, we need to be the kind of people that when we say something, someone says, well, if he said it, that's what it is. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul makes reference to unwholesome words. Corrupt communication, the King James Version renders it, I believe. Paul said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to all that hear. How many of us know what euphemisms are? Probably more than will raise their hands. When you exchange a better sounding word for a bad word and use the better sounding word in the same circumstances, I'm afraid you haven't really accomplished anything positive. And certainly that would have to come under the heading of unwholesome speech, corrupt communication, that which is obviously not good for the edification of those who hear. And such words reflect an attitude of heart that is contrary to the proper spirit of Christian conduct. Well, so much for the negative. Let's look for just a minute or two and we'll be finished at a couple of principles of acceptable speech. Indeed, the Bible does tell us many things that we are not to do in the realm of speech. It gives us a lot of things to go by in not doing. And while numerically the positive does not outweigh the negative, in principle, I believe it covers just as much ground. One guideline that God's Word gives us is that our speech should be used for edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the verse that we read just a minute ago. That no unwholesome communication proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those that hear. Edification, that which builds up, that which encourages, that which strengthens, that which accomplishes a positive thing, that which administers grace to the hearers. Colossians 4, verse 6, Paul said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, it, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to every person. Words which can cool down heated conversations would be words that we would want to speak. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Which of those two do you suppose God would prefer that we use? Words that are a delight to those that hear. Proverbs 25, verse 11, like apples of gold in settings of silver, is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Not only should our speech be characterized by edification, but it should be characterized by thanksgiving, thankfulness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "Do not let immorality or any impurity or greed be even named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Listen to the similar references. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Colossians 2, verse 7, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 3, verse 15, and be ye thankful. Verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3, giving thanks to God the Father. Colossians 4, verse 2, continuing steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. Is there any doubt about the importance of thankfulness and thanksgiving in the vocabulary of the child of God? One further point. Our speech that edifies, speech that administers grace, speech that is characteristic of a thankful heart, the speech that seems to have the right words at the right time to be the most helpful, that kind of speech requires forethought. The righteous gives careful thought to his words. Proverbs 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The language there, pours out, is indicative of something that just comes flooding out without any hesitancy at all. The righteous will be concerned about what comes out of his mouth because he knows that the speech is a reflection of the true condition of his heart. Back to our lesson text where Jesus made reference to every careless word. In the context, the two verses that I read to you follows what Jesus said in that discussion with those of his day concerning the way they'd been speaking. And he warns them that the things that they were saying were giving a true picture of what was on the inside. Verse 34 of Matthew chapter 12, for the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus said, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things defile the man. How easy it is to sin with our speech. We must give careful consideration not to what's popular today, not to what everybody else is saying, not to what we hear on TV or even hear in the songs that we from time to time hear on the radio. We need to give careful consideration to God's standard. And may these words expressed by the psalmist be our thoughts and our words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 14.